want to just say a word about fasting. You know, God intended us to do that, to deny our flesh and to bring sensitivity into our spirit. And that's what fasting does. It sharpens you in the spirit, and it opens a sensitivity to the spirit. And I think fasting, to a great degree, has become a lost art. I don't know if I should call it an art, but a lost practice. Not a lot of focus on fasting. But fasting is very, very vital to the ministry, you know, of the gospel and to our lives and what the Lord wants to do in our lives. So my fasting practice is just water. I just drink water. And we kind of laid out the groundwork for this last weekend, that a biblical day is 12 hours. So if you want to do a true biblical fast, then you fast 12 hours. If you want to do a half a day fast, that would mean you fast from 6 a.m. till 12 p.m. Somebody said, well, I'm going to do a half a day fast. I generally get up about 10 a.m. I don't think that's quite the point, is it? But, you know, pace yourself. And, you know, and it generally does mean shutting yourself off from the world and you know, television and things of that nature, because you're wanting to open your spirit to the Lord, to the presence of God. So we're going to be doing it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I would encourage everyone to at least take one of those days. Maybe you could do, you know, I know 12 hours is a long time to go without food, but I've done it many times, and I'm still living. You know, I'm still living, and you will too, you know, barring that you would have some medical issue where you have to have, you know, food. But join with us, and let's believe God. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we will be here for 1 hour. Now, I encourage everybody, you know, stretch yourself. Begin the new year right. If we want to see God work, it's going to cost us, you know, a little inconvenience. And we live in a world that is very convenience-based and what's in it for me kind of mentality. But if we really want to see God move in our lives, in our families, and see supernatural things happen, it's going to demand some things of us. And I want to challenge you. You know, we're going to have a little season of worship tonight, and then we're going to do pulpit-led. We're going to have different people come and lead in various categories of the things that we're going to pray for and believe God for, and just follow the flow of what the Lord wants to do. So praise God. Let's start the year off right, committed to the Lord, and let's just trust God. Excuse me. Let's trust God for the result. Let's trust Him for what He wants to do and what He wants to accomplish in our lives. Can I get an amen on that one? All right. Having said that, now I want to introduce the first message today in our January series entitled A New Journey. All of us here today, we are all on a journey. Our life has a direction that it is moving in. Our position in life and where we are today has been determined by a series of choices and decisions that we have made along the way. Wouldn't you say that's pretty accurate? Where we are today, we have arrived where we are by a series of choices and decisions that we have made along the way. Now, some of us may have enjoyed the journey thus far. Some of us may have experienced setbacks and disappointments. Some of us may really like where we are in life today, some of us may not be so thrilled and excited about where we are in life today. Some of us may be going the right direction. Others may need to reverse course. So wherever you are on your journey, your new journey begins today. Because how many of you have seen the plaque, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life"? I think we've seen that, right? Today is the first day. Wherever we are in our life, we're still on the journey. Now, only the Lord knows when the journey ends. I'm glad he hasn't revealed that part to us. He knows the moment that we come into this journey, and he knows the moment that we go out. And what happens along the course of this journey, when you bring God into the equation, and I'm not talking about adding religion to your life or adding God to your life. A lot of people think that's what they need to do. I just need to add the Lord. No, no, no. We need to give it up to the Lord. We need to surrender to the Lord. We need to give our entire life to God. And he's not just part of it. He is it. And he's the one that's guiding us on this journey. He is the one who is leading us and guiding us and directing us. So today, in this first message on the series of a new journey, I want to introduce a title that is the journey out of and into. The journey out of and into. And I will explain that message title as we move along today, but I want to draw your attention to a story in the scripture taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Gospel of Mark chapter 5 tells us a story of a man from Gadara. This was a man who had many demons in his life. He was under satanic control and authority, and he needed help. He needed serious help. How many of you realize, man, there's times in our lives when we need serious help? We need some intervention. Well, I want to share this story with you today because he illustrates the title of my message, The Journey Out of and Into. If we are going to begin a new journey, I believe that God wants to bring us out of something, out of where we are, and he wants to bring us into something new. So I want to illustrate that with this story in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, "They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat," Jesus that is, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.'" We could understand that this was demonic power that was speaking through this man. And Jesus says to the demonic entity, he says, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's what the word legion means, many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine were feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000 of them. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. I like that. They went out to see what it was that had happened. We use that sometime. What had happened? Well, it's in the Bible. It's right here. All right, so it says in verse 15, they came to Jesus, and they, I should have named this message, what had happened? We'll do that one another time. So, and they came to Jesus, and they saw the man who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Wow. This is an incredible, incredible story. Now, the journey out of and into, I have four main bullets that I want to sow into your spirit today. Four main bullet truths that I want to sow into your spirit. And the first one is God is calling you and I to get out of the graveyard. He wants us out. Remember, he brings us out so that he could bring us in. He wants us to come out of so that we can go in to. You know, I love stories. I love to watch movies that are based on true stories. And one of my favorite stories is one of my favorite movies on a real life story is the movie The Temptations. I've never seen the film from beginning to ending, but whenever I have a moment, I'm relaxing in my den area, and if I come across that movie, it doesn't matter how many times I've seen, I just start watching it. Becky will come up to me and say, "How many times?" And I said, "Baby, I'm just waiting for them to play Papa Was a Rolling Stone." But, you know, I love real life stories. Back in, I think it was the early 80s, there was a movie that came out entitled Coal Miner's Daughter. Anybody heard of that? It was a story of Loretta Lynn, and Sissy Spacek was the actress who did a fabulous job of portraying Loretta Lynn. There's a scene in that film where Loretta is, her father has died. And she was, you know, just so distraught over the loss of her father that she spent, in her biography, it says that she spent a day and a night at the grave in the cemetery. She did not want, you know, she was so distraught over the loss of her father. She had just made a record, had scraped together all the money that she had to make a record. And there's a scene in the movie where she's at the cemetery. And Tommy Lee Jones played her husband, Doolittle. So Tommy Lee, or Doolittle, comes up the side of the mountain, very, very rural area. Wasn't even a road that went to the cemetery. He comes up the side of the mountain or side of the hill on a bulldozer. And he's very frustrated with Loretta. And he walks over and he says, "Loretta, are you going to sing or not?" And then he turns and walks off. And at that moment, something just came alive in her. And she got up and she got on the back of that, jumped on the back of that bulldozer. And Doolittle looks at her and he says, "Are you going to sing?" She said, "Yes." "Are you going to sing?" "Yes." "Are you going to sing?" "I want to do this." It's a powerful, powerful scene in the film. Because from that moment, she had to make a decision. Am I going to stay in the past with all of my pain, all of my hurt, all of my setbacks, all of my disappointments? Come on, somebody. I might get hot before it's over today. Or am I going to make a decision to get up and to get going? How many people in the journey of life today, my friends, cannot move into the future because they can't get out of the graveyard? How many demons of sin are keeping people associated with a dead life? They are all around us. Dead people are all around us. I'm talking about living dead people. But God is calling us first and foremost, get out of the graveyard. Remember, he wants to bring us out of so that he might bring us into. Wherever you are on the journey right now, whether you have gone through setbacks, disappointments, maybe there's pain in your heart today. Whatever it is, come out of the graveyard. Make a decision that from this moment forward, things are going to be different. See, there's so many people today, they are held back from a successful journey in life. They are held back from a blessed journey. And my friends, I am here to tell you that God wants to bless your life. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to bless you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, for my life. But so many times we get caught in the status quo. We get bound up in the graveyard, whatever it is that is holding us back. It could be sin issues, sin choices, whatever. Demons have a hold of our life and we can't get out of the graveyard. Some people are held back because they have chosen wrong associations, wrong people to hang out with. Well, Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he plainly told us, he said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." That was in Galatians, but then in 1 Corinthians 15, he says this. He says, "Evil associations corrupt good morals." So we have to be very, very careful who we hang around with. Because there are so many things that can keep us in the graveyard. A lot of people are in the graveyard because they can't break free from bad associations. Come on, somebody. Some are in the graveyard because they are still nursing a hurt in their life and they won't let it go. As we've already said, some are dealing with sin issues. They can't get free from that sex sin, or they can't get free from that drug issue or that alcohol issue or whatever the issue may be. And they are just like the man of Gadara. They are bound in the graveyard, bound in the cemetery. But God is calling us to come out. Remember, he wants to bring us out of so that he could bring us into. Now, what is it that he wants to bring us into? We understand, according to what we read in the story, God wants to bring us out of the graveyard. I know at one time my life was in the graveyard. You know, I find that there are a lot of graveyard experiences in biblical characters all through the Bible. I find that David said, "He lifted me up out of the deep miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay, and he has put a song in my soul today, and it is a song of praise." Hallelujah. I find another place where David said that death encompassed me. Did not David write the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalms 23, when he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the Lord is with me"? Oh, yeah. I find all through the scripture there are characters in our Bible who had near-death experiences, if you will. But praise God, we are here and we are alive. We have survived it all. And we are here to tell about it. Thank God that the devil didn't take us out. He may have taken us down on occasion, but he has not taken us out. Thank God that he has not taken us out. We are alive because Christ is alive within us. And he is calling us, release it. He wants to bring us out of so he could bring us into. Never forget that. Let me move on to the second one. Because, man, this is so important. See, he wants us to get out of the graveyard, and he wants us to get into a new life. Now, in the Old Testament, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, let me ask you, my friends, for those of you that are Old Testament savvy, he brought them out of Egypt because he wanted to bring them into, does anybody know? The promised land. That's right. Into a place that was called Canaan. He brought them out of Egypt so that he could bring them into the promised land. Now, Egypt represented the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is our threefold enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the promised land represented what God intended for his people. It was his plan, his blessing, and his future for them. Now, if we were to go around and take a survey today of where do you think you are in God's plan for your life, I am sure that we would get some interesting responses to that survey. I'm sure that some will say, well, I'm not really where I want to be. Well, I'm not where I used to be. Well, we like to say, praise God, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because we've come out. Now, if we were to do that survey, all of us would probably have a little different idea of where we are. Now, some of us may still be trying to get out of some things. You may be trying to get out of financial bondage. How many of you realize, man, financial bondage can stress you out? It can pressurize you. It can play with your mind, you know, because it's so easy to get in, but it's very difficult to get out. Some of you may be trying to get out of something. You may be trying to get out of financial problems. Maybe some of you are trying to recover from a bad relationship experience. You know, there could be a multiple of things. My friends, we have to come out of that. And we have to go into what God has for us. We have to get into a new life. Now, as we go to our story, when I look at this story, it is always amazed me of this story of this demon-possessed man who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And because of that encounter, his life would never, ever, ever be the same again. Now, this man was, he was messed up. Kind of remind me of a message I preached, I think, back in the summer. How to love people that are tripping. Because this guy, Lady Gaga on steroids. Come on, somebody. I mean, man, this guy was in bad, bad shape. I mean, he's cutting himself. He's crying out. And he's cutting himself with stones, bodily injury, because his soul is in such turmoil because the demonic power is so strong and it is controlling his life. And this man meets Jesus. See, he was about to come out of something. Let me share a verse of scripture with you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1:13 says that the Lord has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has or as the New King James says, he has conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. Now, what that word means, that word translated or conveyed, it means to remove from one place to another. It literally means to change a situation or a place. He came out of and he was about to go into, in this story right here. God was calling him out of bondage, demonic power, out of the graveyard and into a new life. Now that is the very same thing that happens to you and I when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. We come out of darkness. See, we don't know it. We didn't realize that we were under demonic power. We didn't. Man, when I was out there, I didn't realize it. You know, I didn't realize how controlled I was. I didn't realize how bound I was. I was in sin and loving it because I didn't know any better. Until the truth of the gospel shed light on my dilemma. See, I came out of, just like you, you came out of, and if you have never come out of, then today is your day, this is your moment, this is your opportunity. Because if you will surrender to Jesus Christ, you will come out of, you will be translated or conveyed from one place to another. Your situation will change. Now, one thing I have found about the Lord is that the years that I have served God is that my life has been so much better. And that doesn't mean it's been without its challenges, because we all have challenges. It doesn't mean that it's been without its trials and tribulations, because we all have trials and tribulations. But my life has been so much better. Do you know why? Because my spirit has received life. And I came out of the graveyard, out of the cemetery. And I was translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. See, that's the new life right there. There is the new life that we have to embrace. I come out of Egypt in the Old Testament. You know, it is symbolic. He brought them out of Egypt, meaning the world, the flesh, the devil's control and power. And he brought them into. He brought them into God's plan and purpose, which was the promised land or Canaan's land. That's why I always love to declare Jeremiah 29 over my life. Where it says that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you an expectancy. Listen, in this new year, man, we need some expectancy. Things don't happen because we don't expect nothing. Hello, somebody. But if we will begin to connect with the presence of God and connect with the promise and connect with the truth. You see, we don't have any expectancy because so many times we haven't come out of where we are. But when you come out of and then you go into, things began to happen. Now, in our storyline in the Gospel of Mark, the scripture says that Jesus delivered this man. And an amazing thing is here. I find something that really stands out to me in this story. Here is a guy that has been living in the graveyard in his birthday suit. I was reading an article about certain communities where they're trying to shut down the nudist colonies. Now, I have no earthly idea. Well, maybe I have some idea of why people want to do that kind of thing. But can you imagine that there are people that they just believe that that's right on? But the law is trying to shut that kind of thing down. You know, because that's really not normal. Hello, somebody. Right? It's really not normal to do that. But there are people that believe it is. You know, so here's a guy that Scripture says that he was in his birthday suit and he's living in the cemetery, and all of a sudden he has an encounter with Jesus Christ and his life is never the same again. All right, so Jesus brings him out of and he brings him into a new journey. I mean, this guy stepped into a new journey. And the Scripture says that the one, verse 15, the one who had been demon-possessed was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And all the people of the city that knew about this guy, they come upon the scene and they see this and they are afraid. I mean, shouldn't they have been afraid before? I mean, that really stands out to me. You know, because they see him sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they stand back and they are afraid, the Scripture says. As long as he was bound up and messed up and born this way. Hello, somebody. Yeah, see, that's why you got to be born again. Because you were born that way, whatever way that may be. Amen? You need to be born again. You know, this guy, they looked at that as being normal. And then when they see him on a new journey, they don't understand that. See, that's the same thing that will happen with you and I. I remember when I got born again, man. My boys, they said, man, Smitty has gone off the deep end. Said he done got a hold of something from beyond Acapulco gold. Or, you know, he's just, I'm telling you, they could not, listen, true story. Y'all know all my stories are true. My junior year of high school, I'm carrying my books in class. I had a brown paper bag. And it wasn't lunch. Because I had a business. Illegal though it was, I had a business as a junior in high school. And I was carrying a bag, you know, because I was selling stuff. And all of a sudden, the next year, senior, anybody graduate high school? Let me look over here at these. Y'all, anybody graduate? Come on, seniors, praise God. Yeah, senior year. All of a sudden, I got a brown Bible. Brown bag gone, brown Bible in. You see, you come out of, come on, somebody. You come out of. And you come in, oh my God, I never forget having the little Gideon's New Testaments. I love those things because they were so compact. And man, we give them to anybody and everybody. But, you know, but the guys that knew me as a teenager, you know, from a broken home, from a messed up family, I mean, just from the streets, they could not understand that. They thought that, man, that was weird. And they were afraid. That's why one guy said, Smitty, you mean, when I told him I've been born again, he said, Smitty, you mean you reincarnated? That's what they used to call me, was Smitty. He said, you mean you've been reincarnated? I said, no, man, no. Born again. Look, it says it in the Bible right here. It says that you can be born again right here. I said, that's what happened to me. They would rather me. Yes. Seated and clothed. And in his right mind. Now, my friend, here, this is what this means to you and I today, because this is so vital. When we begin a new journey, this is what we need right here. This is where it begins. This is where we get out of and we get into whatever it is you need to get out of. Get out of it. And understand that Jesus Christ is going to change your life forever, and you will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. You will be seated and clothed and in your right mind. Paul said it this way in the book of Romans. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, we make a choice. Whatever I feed will grow. If I feed my flesh with the filth of the world, then I will progress, or should I say digress, into sin's power. But if I feed my spirit with truth, with the word of the living God, if I feed my life, my human spirit, with the presence of God and the preaching of the gospel and the word of truth, then that is what is going to grow inside of me, because whatever we feed will grow. So he says, put on Jesus Christ. And when we put on Jesus Christ, the scripture says that he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now let me give you a comparison. Sitting, Ephesians 2:6 says that Jesus Christ has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That is a spiritual position. You and I, as born again believers, we have been given a spiritual position. Now, in our story, it says that those in the city came out to see what had happened. That's verse 14. They came out to see what had happened, right? And they came to Jesus, and there's a demon-possessed guy. All right, so think of this. All right, he's sitting, and he's clothed, and in his right mind. And who is there with him, my friends? That's right. Jesus Christ. They are right there together. Ephesians 2:6, he has raised us up together and he has made us sit together in heavenly places. He is, do you see it? He came out, my God, help us to see the revelation of this. He came out of and he came into and he's in a position now. And then it says that he's clothed. 1 Peter 5:5. Peter says this. He says, be clothed with humility. Why should I be clothed with humility? Because that is what Jesus Christ was clothed with. He was a humble servant. All right, so 1 Peter 5:5 says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Oh, hallelujah. If I want to get on that new journey, then I cannot allow the pride in my heart to rise up and to keep me from God's best in my life, because pride will always keep you down. It will not bring you where God wants you to be. When you begin to understand that God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble, when you cast yourself before the throne of God and say, God, I can't do this without you. I need you every moment of every hour of every day. I need you. I need you. I need you. Every time before I preach in this church and I come up on this platform, I say, God, I need you. My words are nothing unless you anoint them. I am nothing unless you anoint me. I am nothing. I possess nothing. Everything I am, everything I have, my total dependency, my faith, my confidence, my trust, my expectation, it is all based and rooted in you. Because without you, I can't do anything. And Jesus said that himself to his followers. See, we must constantly clothe ourselves with humility. And the scripture says he was sitting and he was clothed and he was in his right mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says that we have the mind of Christ. We have a spiritual mind. He said it this way in the book of Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. See, within each and every one of us, we all want to be celebrities. Facebook proves it. We're all on Facebook because we want attention. Look at my hair. Well, not me, but some, you know. Right? Oh, listen, social media is a great thing, isn't it? But think about it. Think about it. We all really want to be celebrities to a degree, right? We want people... I mean, all of us. Pastor, that was the most powerful, dynamic message that I think I've ever heard you preach. And like my father-in-law said, flattery will get you everywhere. We are. It's in us. It's in our nature. We like that, right? We love to hear words of commendation or words of, you know, of good job and you know, all of those things. But we must never, ever lose sight that, man, everything that we have, listen, we are totally dependent upon God in every single thing we do. I was behind a car the other day, and it was one of those smart cars. And I got around the guy and I looked at that thing and I said, there is no way in Hades that you would ever catch me in that. And I realized, you know, because that's my pride. My pride says, I'm a truck man, praise you. I'm a Ford man or a Toyota man or something, but I'm not a smart car man. Almost had a Forrest Gump moment. I may not be a smart man, but didn't he say that in the movie? All right, I got it. I'm done with this message. Let me give you here's the last one right here. Listen, get this one right here. Get this one right here. All right, so here's our four things. Here's our four bullets. Here's number four. God wants us to move into the future. He wants us to move into the future. Now, look at our story. All right, here's our demoniac sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. All right, so in verse 18, Jesus, the service is over. And Jesus is going back to the boat. And he's getting in the boat. It's in verse 18. It says he got in the boat, and he who had been demon-possessed asked him that he might be with him. He pleaded with him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not allow that, but he said to him, listen to this. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And in verse 20, he departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all that heard him marveled. So Jesus thrust him into the future. He propelled him into the future. He said, go now with this new life and share it with as many people as you can. And what do we find that happened here? This man went out and he had great influence everywhere he went because he was propelled into his future. He moved into his future. And Jesus did this great stuff in his life. He brought him out of the graveyard, brought him into the new life. He put on Jesus Christ. He was sitting clothed and in his right mind. And now the Lord says, now I want you to go and be an extension of me. And my friend, that's exactly what he's saying to you and I today. Wherever we go. See, our influence, if we're stuck in the graveyard, then how can we influence our world? If we are bound by sin, how can we influence our world? If we are stuck in the hurts of the past and the disappointments and the setbacks, how can we influence our world? You can't. But when we come out of and we come into and we put on and then we are thrust out, and we become that extension. And I believe that is the ultimate, ultimate journey. That God has a destiny. That he wants to use your life. And he wants to use my life. And isn't that what this story at the end is showing us? That God wanted to use this man. He said, I want to use you. I want to use your life to touch others, to have an impact.